good to be part of the family of God, isn't it? At the end of the service today, we're going to receive communion. And what excites me is what communion reminds us of. We're going to be receiving communion with, obviously, Siva and Shanti and Rashbi and Manoj. But do you realize the next time we receive communion, we are still going to be receiving communion together? They'll be sharing in the Lord's Supper many, many miles from here. But in Christ, we are united. And we're so thankful. We long for that day when the kingdom of God fully comes, when Christ returns, and when we are forever with him in heaven. We long for that day when we'll celebrate that feast. But every time we share this feast, it's a reminder of that coming feast and the joy that we have. Our church family's been able to help them, and one of the things that so encouraged me, we helped with some transportation and some other things, just in needs that have arisen with having to move pretty quickly. And one of the things that brought joy to my heart is Shanti took a picture of our about eight volunteers who helped move some items yesterday, and she said, "I'm sharing all of this with my family, and especially those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when they hear what this church, and more importantly, what Jesus does through us, we believe that this is going to be part in helping them come to faith in the Lord." We're going to receive a love offering, cash only, and I know that you have no knowledge to give at this time. The church has already been able to give a gift out of family help to them, a generous gift, but perhaps if we all had a couple dollars we could throw in, we could send them as another sign and another reminder of the faithfulness of Christ. If I asked them if they were willing to receive this, they would tell me no. That's why I did not ask them. And so ushers are going to come at this time. They're going to receive. Feel free to give. This is not our normal offering. Everything placed in here will go directly to Siva and Shanti. Please no checks, just if you have any loose change. And this will just be an added blessing on top of already what the church has done. We'll receive our regular tithes and offerings at the end of the service. I'm getting some glares right now, but that's quite all right as far as I'm concerned. And what I love about this is we get to send a message. The Lord Jesus is faithful. And you know what's awesome? What he does for one, he will do for anyone. God is faithful to all of his children. What good news that is. I want to thank you as they're coming and receiving for sending us so generously to our ministers and ministry team retreat at Olivet Nazarene University. This local church through our board has made it a custom. October is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and I ask that you not shower, you don't shower us with gifts or money or anything like that. We don't ask for that. I always appreciate cards, the words of encouragement. The board sends us for 3 days, an extra day as well, to fellowship, to get away just with our spouses, and I just want to thank you. We were able to do that. It was a tremendous time, not only with our spouses, but with ministry colleagues, and you may not realize you're a part of that, but through the board and your faithfulness, that's the gift that the board gave us, and it was a wonderful gift. We got to watch the Cubs lose 6-0. What a game, but it was still a wonderful time to be away, but I just want to make you aware that if you didn't know that, again, of your generosity, and thank you for that kindness. We're going to continue in our series on parenting today, and we're going to talk about a topic or an area of parenting. Oh, thank you. It's nice. We're going to send our children to the lower level. Whenever we have an added element, I'm likely to forget it. Thank you. So let's go ahead and give our kids a high five as they head to the lower level for children's ministry. Just if you're wondering, that was not the voice of God coming through the speakers. I don't know if you could hear that. That was the voice of Stephen Halsey kindly reminding me to send the kids to the lower level. So give them a high five as they come by. So we're going to focus on the theme of parenting with grace. And I want to share something that I came across. I know it, sometimes when we share statistics, it gets kind of interesting or different studies. But I think that this one is very insightful because it speaks to an important issue in parenting. What do we value? A team of researchers at the Harvard Graduate School of Education asked 10,000 middle and high school students the following question: what is most important to you? I wonder for our parents here, if you have middle school or students in high school, what you think your kid would say, your teen would say. So they asked these middle school students and high schoolers what's most important to them. Achieving at a high level, happiness, defined in part as feeling good most of the time, or caring for others. Those were the three options that they were given. 48% of students selected high achievement as their top priority. 30% chose happiness, while only 22% placed caring for others at the top of the list. The researchers said, some youth made it quite clear to us that their self-interest is paramount. If you are not happy, life is nothing. After that, you want to do well. And after that, expend any excess energy on others. Their research report was appropriately titled, The Children We Mean to Raise: The Real Messages Adults Are Sending About Values. And the first line of their executive summary stated, our youth's values appear to be awry, and the messages that adults are sending may be at the heart of the problem. I'm going to read that one more time. Our youth's values appear to be awry, and the messages that adults are sending may be the heart of the problem. Families have a responsibility in shaping what the next generation values. And oftentimes the next generation values what we value. So I want to talk for a moment about what should we value as parents. Now we know there's a lot of things that we can value and are good to value. They're important. We want our kids to be successful. We want our kids to be healthy. We want them to be well-liked or to get along with other people. We want our kids to behave. We want our kids to stay out of trouble. We want them to be kind. We want our kids to do their best at school. We want them to brush their teeth. We want them to make their bed. Can I get an amen? Okay, a few. You're not quite awake yet. We value a lot of good and important things. But what should we value most? And I'm speaking not just to our parents, but to families, and even extending that to the church family. What we value often gets passed to our kids. What we don't value often doesn't get passed along to our kids. The calling that God gives parents, the number one most important calling he gives parents, is to lead their children to know and to love him through Jesus Christ. This defines the win. This is the goal. This is the end goal of parenting. And it's the primary responsibility of all Christian parents. I want to invite you to listen to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, or you can follow along in your Bible as I read the word of the Lord. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You shall love the Lord God, and you shall teach your children. You shall teach them to love the Lord God, to know and to love God. The primary calling, the greatest responsibility of parents, of family, of the church family, is to teach our children to know and to love God. Now, there's many other things we teach them, important things. Counsel, advice. The church teaches many other important things. But just as Jesus said that this one command, all the law and all the prophets hang upon this. Everything else, we rightly interpret scripture through this lens, to love the Lord God with all of our being, to love and to know him. This is the primary responsibility of parents. This teaching and this authentic faith, this authentic love for the Lord is to be so present in our homes that it's as present as the doorpost. In this passage, we see that it's supposed to be normal in a Christian home, for there to be an authentic faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we would talk about, that we would pray, that we would model this faith that we could pass along to our children to know and to love the Lord. It's not the only thing Christian parents are called to do, but it is the main thing. Our goal is that one day when our children grow up and they become adults, that they will be adults who know and love the one true God. That defines the win. I want to invite you, if that's what we're seeing in Deuteronomy here, if what we see affirmed in the New Testament, take a moment, and this is kind of a painful moment. I've done this. Parents, families, take inventory of your heart. That's, I think, without debate, when we look at Scripture, if we believe that Scripture is the Word of God that is true, that is reliable, breathed out from God, which we do, and if we interpret Scripture, this is clearly the main responsibility that parents have. Take inventory, and let me ask you, this is to me as well, what are you valuing most as a parent? What are we valuing most as families? What are we valuing most as a church family? If you're like me, you know, I might initially kind of respond to that and a little bit of self-justification. I've been busy or this or that. I might react a bit. But if I let the Holy Spirit speak, I see some things that we're doing really well in our home. But I also see some competing values, some good things that are right, that are needed, but not the main thing. And sometimes those good things sneak into the center, don't they? They creep in and they want to take the center of our hearts. What are you valuing? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you treasuring? What are you prioritizing your time for? It's important that we see that what we value and what our children value often go together. It's important that we see that. How important is faith? How important is prayer? How important is reading the word of the Lord, Scripture? How important is church? How important are these things to your home? How important are they to your parenting? Those are questions that I believe that when I look at this principle from Deuteronomy that God wants to ask to me, and he wants to ask to you, and he wants to ask to our church family. And when God shines his light on an area and allows me to see where maybe something else has crept into the center, he doesn't do so to guilt me or condemn me. He does so to redeem me. And so it's good. It's a good moment when you're able to see what you're valuing as it is, when you're able to see beyond self-deception, beyond whatever other thing we put over that. If we will respond in faith and grace, God can breathe new life into that area. Our primary calling and responsibility as parents and as a church family is to teach our children to know and to love the one true God. Why? Why should we do this? Why should parents most value that their kids know and love the Lord? If we keep reading in Deuteronomy a few verses down, I'm going to read verses 20 through 23 in chapter 6 if you would like to follow along. The answer is given right here. It says, when your son or daughter asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that our Lord God has commanded you? Let me interpret that. Why? Why do I have to do this? Why is this? I think we've all heard at some point our children, often earlier than we would expect, ask that question. But why? But why, Mom? But why, Dad? Why do we have to do this? Why is prayer important to us? Why is faith? Why is Jesus? Why is Scripture important to us? Why is it so important that we love the Lord God? Here's the answer that is given. You shall say to your son or daughter, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land he swore to give to our parents. Here in looking back at this moment in salvation history, when God brought the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, out of Egypt, as we look forward in Scripture, we see that that becomes a foreshadowing of the greater deliverance that we need in Jesus Christ. That we don't just need deliverance from physical oppression and slavery, but ultimately that is a foreshadowing that points to the greater deliverance we need from the greater slavery we experience, and that is sin. That is our own sin. That is our own selfish desires that Paul writes about in Romans, that they control us. And it seems that we're hopelessly lost to keep giving in to these desires, to keep sinning. And as we sin, we experience spiritual death. And there's this vicious downward spiral that we know all too well. But God sends Jesus to redeem us, to forgive us for our sins, to adopt us into God's family, to break the power of sin in our lives, to cause us to be born anew by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that. You're experiencing that reality. You're growing in a relationship with God. You have been delivered from the sins you've committed. You know that sin no longer has power over you. You have the hope of the gospel. You have Jesus Christ living in you through the Holy Spirit. This is a reality. And what we read in Deuteronomy here is that the motivation for teaching our children to know and love God is authentic faith. It's the fact that we know our sins have been forgiven. It's God's grace that he gives to us that enables us to believe. So the motivation and the only way that it works that we teach our kids to know and love God is if you and I, and parents, this is so important for me to hear, it's important for grandparents to hear, aunts and uncles, the church family. It is so important that we have an authentic faith, that we personally know God's grace. I'll never forget a moment. It's one of those moments that I don't even know why it stood out to me. I could tell you why. But I was studying, I had a class in seminary called Pentateuch and Historical Books. And sounds like a really exciting class, right? And we're studying through this, and we got into the Judges and the book of Judges, and we're seeing these cycles of rebellion against God, where generational drift away from God. And I'll never forget my professor having a moment where he reached out and he said, "Parents, the greatest way, the easiest way that we can lose the next generation is when we teach our kids what they should and shouldn't do to be a good Christian. We teach them rules, we teach them religion, but when we in our hearts don't authentically believe, when Christ isn't more than a personal, real, intimate relationship, a being that we worship and follow, the very center of our lives, if our kids see a disconnect between our teaching and what we're telling them to do and our practice, they know, and they will reject that." Now, having said that, you can do everything right. You can authentically model, and you can do your best, and you can walk in a vibrant relationship with Christ. It doesn't guarantee that our kids will follow in our paths. But I will tell you that whenever we teach them to do something that we don't personally experience in our hearts, we're creating a recipe for possible likelihood of rebellion. Parents need grace. Grace is essential for us to teach our kids to know and love God. And the good news is that God is eager to give grace to parents and family, a grace that as we receive from him, he wants us to pass along to our children. Psalm 103, I'm going to read to you just a few verses from Psalm 103. Says this: "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." These are authentic words. This is somebody who really knows God. "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from the east as from the west." And then verse 13, I want you to hear this verse. "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are, and he remembers we are only dust. The Lord is a father who is compassionate to his children. God wants to give us grace. He wants to help us. It's who he is. He is our father, and he is eager to give grace. He has compassion. He knows that we as human beings are dust. We have limitations. We don't have limitless knowledge, strength, resources. And he is eager and he wants to help families teach their children to know and love God. And there's only one thing that's required of us to receive that. We have to confess our inability, our weakness, and trust in him. We need the faith to ask for his help. We need the faith that would enable us to make him the center of our lives. We cannot pass along to our children what we personally do not possess. So if we want our children to have an authentic faith, then God in his grace is speaking to us today, not to condemn us, but to encourage us to be authentic followers of Christ. I came across a quote that I'm going to paraphrase from the book Parenting by Dr. Tripp. It says this: God doesn't call parents because they are able. His grace makes them able. It's good news. The question is, are you relying on his grace, or do you think you're good? Do you think that you can navigate in your own resources, in your own strength? Do you think you know what your children need? Do you think that you're okay on your own? Or do you rely on Jesus? Now, let me ask you a second question. Maybe you said this, and this is what I said, is yes, I know I can't do it on my own. I'm relying on Christ. I'm relying on him for the grace I need to be the parent I need. Let me ask you a second. You're affirming that like I did. Does that actually show up in your life? Or are you affirming that reality without being willing to humbly submit to that? Is there a gap? Is there a gap between what you profess and what you practice? I really hope that as this is shared, that some of you are saying, yeah, there is a gap. I know I have had to say that many times in my life, and I still say that. There's a gap. Sometimes what I profess is not all that I practice. And what I want to be is like the disciple in the Gospels that Jesus encountered, who says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe. I love that Jesus doesn't scold that individual. Instead, he provides healing. So if you're willing as a parent, if you're willing to say, God, thank you for showing me that many times there's a gap between what I profess to my children and what I practice. And if you're willing just to say, Father, would you help me? I believe. Help my unbelief. That is sufficient. God in his grace sees, and he is willing. He is a loving father who wants to help. I want to close by sharing another illustration. Some of you are familiar with Dallas Willard, a well-known leader in the church. He said, 50 years ago, my dad and mom gave me a new Bible. It was my senior year in high school, the first week of a two-a-day football practices. And I crawled home that day bone-tired. Mom made a special dinner for me since it was my birthday, and Dad gave me a Bible with the following inscription. This is what this father wrote in the Bible. Bud, nothing could be greater than to have a son who loves the Lord and walks with him. Your mother and I have found this book our dearest treasure. We give it to you, in doing so, can give nothing greater. Be a student of the Bible, and your life will be full of blessing. We love you, Dad. As I read these wonderful words from 50 years ago, it never occurred to me to think, Dad doesn't really believe that. It's just religious talk. I knew he meant it because I watched him live it. He was a student of the Bible, and his life was full of blessing, and I wanted what he had. It took me a few more years to get clarity in some ways, not surprisingly, but on this day so long ago, my dad said something to me that left a deep impression. It moved me then, and it moves me now. God gives us, as parents, church family, grandparents, a very clear calling. We are to value first that our children know and love God. And God is a God who gives grace to families. Let's receive that grace, and let's commit today, by his grace, to practice what we profess imperfectly. To practice what we profess, and let's pray for his grace for all of our children and for our parenting. We're going to pray in preparation for communion. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I'm going to invite that those who will be helping me with communion would come, would stand at the front. As they come, I'd like to share with you a scripture. Just because I'm aware, because at times good news sometimes exposes the fact that there's room for growth and you might find yourself being a bit discouraged. I want to read from you from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. The good news of what God can do and who he is. Verse 19, Paul says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Verse 20. "Now all glory to God, who is able, throughout his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever. Amen." God is able to do, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So let that be your prayer. What area do you need his grace in your parenting? Ask him. He's willing and he's able. We're going to pray in preparation, and then after that, the worship team's going to lead us in a song, and you're invited to come forward, use the center aisle, form two lines. We're going to receive communion by a method called intinction. It's taking a piece of bread and just dipping it in the cup with the juice, and then receiving, and you can partake immediately, and then return to your seats. Communion reminds us of the grace that we need, and it reminds us of the grace that we have. So let's pray in preparation, and then after that, you'll be invited to come. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you that we know that you are faithful, that you are good. And while we consider from your word what ought to be our greatest calling, to teach our children to know and love you, we realize and recognize that we do not have the ability in and of ourselves as parents, as families, as grandparents, aunts, uncles, as a church family, we do not have the ability to shape our children's hearts alone without you. So we rely on you fully. We confess our inability. We own our inability. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that we are able, that your grace leads us, your grace guides us. It is our prayer and our desire that we would be able to pass along an authentic faith. We are aware that for that to happen, we must allow your Holy Spirit to take inventory of our hearts. So in whatever ways that you've shown us that there might be a gap between what we profess and believe and what we actually practice, Father, we thank you for showing us that through your Holy Spirit. And rather than trying to bridge that gap on our own, we confess that to you and we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would bridge that gap for us. It would give us the will and the ability and the commitment to follow Jesus authentically. We know that that relationship with you isn't something that just forms and fully develops in one day. That relationship, although it begins in a moment of placing faith in Christ, it is a process of a lifelong journey. And I pray that you give grace to each family here, each person who's here. Father, as we receive communion together, as individuals come, help us to remember that what is at the very center of the church is not a pastor, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is Savior, we are not. And as we come, would we let go? Would we confess the sin? Would we let it go to you? And would we receive your grace once again? And then may you send us out into this world. So again, we thank you for this time, and we ask your blessing upon this time of communion. It's in your name we pray. Amen.